Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Thrillers Global Podcast. I'm your host, CJ. Alongside me, we've got Liam, Chrisos, Yannis. Boys, how are we?
Very good. Amazing, good after that.
Absolutely buzzing.
I think we're all feeling very good because, ladies and gentlemen, Conference League champions. Olympiakos. Finally, with some European pedigree. Guys, we're going to talk about, this is going to be another a therapy session for all of us. We're going to talk about our feelings, our emotions. We're officially a more successful club than Arsenal and Tottenham. So just good feelings all around. What an absolute week it's been, especially for all the Olympiakos fans. That's why we're here tonight on this chilly Sunday night. Boys, how are we feeling? Then you must say, Kala.
Well, in the cars, we can't sing them anymore. There's apparently we are Kala now, so.
I'm feeling good.
We got the European trophy, it's done.
That's it.
Done.
You can't use the chain anymore.
Now that we got the taste of blood, we want more. We want to feel all those emotions all over again. I don't know about you boys, but it still feels the same it does this morning or today as it did Thursday morning.
Yep.
Throughout the day.
Just
what a moment for Greek football, for Olympiakos, for Greece. Not only did we win in Greece, we won in the Hagia Sophia Stadium on the 29th of May, which is the day Constantinople fell to the Ottoman Empire. So such a big day. You cannot convince me otherwise. Or Theos ήταν εκεί that night, looking after our boys. And for a while there, that some decisions were going against us. It was looking like a nightmare. I don't know about you guys. The nerves were strong the entire morning, the entire time. But El Kabi again, the killer, Moroccan killer right there. But before we get into it, Yanni, tell us where you were, who you were with, your emotions at the start, and we'll share it around the room.
Bro, so I was actually just alone in my living room at the start because it was really early and no one else in my house fully supports the team like that. But I think this is the first time I've watched a football match from the first minute to all the way to the last. And I've been dead quiet because I was nervous, bro. I was just taking everything in. Like I couldn't react. Even if a call was against us, I couldn't react. Even if we made a good chance, I couldn't react. I was just there patiently waiting. And when that goal at the 116th minute, El Kabi, that header went in. Oh my God! Like I was screaming, yelling, bro. Like. Everybody in my house came out, bro. Like, I started hugging them. Like, they're not even Olympiakos fans. Like, think about it like that. Because you said, what a night for Greek football.
Yeah, yeah.
My mom literally just comes out, like, hugs me. She's a Panathinaikos fan. Doesn't, like... Oof.
It
was a massive...
It doesn't matter.
It was massive. And it was just something, like, words cannot explain, like, what just happened. It was crazy. And I just feel, again, like so blessed that we got to see it because so many others didn't. We got to see it. Hopefully it's the start of more, but like, damn, 100 years, first once in 100 years, literally, just happened.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. And on to what you said, how your mum's a Panathinaikos fan, I hope this is the start of a unity within Greek football. I think, well, at least from our behalf, and I hope it resembles how other people feel, especially in Greece, that if this was any other Greek team, the feeling would be the same. If it was AEK, Balkan. I know I said last episode, but obviously that's a joke. This puts us on the map. So yeah, it, like especially my bubble went mental as well, and he's an Ike supporter. I think teams and colours went out the window. I think the fact that it's for Greece, for our ethnic year. I think that's all that mattered. Chris, I know you're in beautiful New Zealand right now, but where were you Thursday morning?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm coming to you from across the ditch in Queenstown. Hence the different setup and to why I'm sitting on a bed instead of my usual setup with my El Cubby background. But yeah, I was with my baba and my brother. We got up at 5 a.m. to watch the game. Baba and I usually like talk during the game, you know, have a nice analysis in Greek. But I think, yeah, just the atmosphere and the nature of the game, we just sat there and just soaked it all in. I had a feeling that it was going to be either low scoring or it was going to be lots of goals. So low scoring was obviously the result. And yeah, once El Cubby put that header in, we just went mental. My mum walks into the room and we go, "Mum, we won." And she goes sarcastic. She's like, "Oh, great. Like, my world has been changed now." So yeah, I think what CJ was saying is that, you know, in the Greek diaspora, like in Australia and New Zealand, is that we, like in Cyprus and Cypriot, we root for any other Cypriot team in Europe. And that's not really the case over there. So I'm hoping that this win has kind of resonated with the Greeks, that we should be supporting Greek football no matter who's playing, because we're not a top, if we're a top five league, be a different story, you know. But we're not a top five league. So I think we should be supporting all the Greek clubs. Like if AEK won, when Athenagos won, I would still be happy. If Omonia won a European trophy, I'd be happy for them too. And I think that hopefully, as Troy and Gabriella say, this is hopefully the start of something new.
Yeah, beautifully said, Chris, and 100% agree. Thrillers Global comments here, we are European champs. 100% we are.
Mate, you're applying to your own points, mate.
Liam, before we get into your whereabouts on Thursday, I forgot what I was going to say. Right, go ahead, Liam. Sorry, mate. I'm having an absolute brain fart tonight.
Right, mate, don't cut me off, though. That's all. Have you got it? Are you gonna think of it?
Nah, but I went out of my head completely.
No, yeah. Well.
Oh, before we. Yeah, no, I'm joking.
No, I watched the game with my papa. I think I said on the last podcast that, you know, Bapu's the one who's made me, you know, love the Olympiacos, love the team. So I was obviously going to watch such an important game with just him. And that's the way I wanted to do it, because that's how I've watched all the games over the last 10 years. Didn't want to change the routine or anything to it. Watch it together. What a moment. Like all you boys have said, what I want to say about the game was, man, it was a tough watch. It was like as in, it was not a good game. Both teams did not play well. And when I say it was a tough watch, I mean, like, it was just tough because you just knew there was going to be one sort of moment. No idea. You're sacked, mate. You're fired. What's it called? You just knew there was going to be... By the way, can you guys hear me good? Because I'm using new headphones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you sound even more sick to me.
All right. I was going to say, you just knew that it was it was going to come down to, like, a one moment. And every time Fiorentina went forward... Oh, I was so nervous, especially towards the end of the 90. Yeah. Like, it was just so nerve-wracking, because you just had that feeling this game is gonna go down to one like moment, just one. It's gonna be a one goal game. That's what I mean when I say it was a tough watch, because you know, you just if Fiorentina scored the way we were playing, I did not have the confidence that we would, you know, score one to get it back, kind of thing. I don't know if you boys felt the same, but I don't think. I didn't think the game was going that sort of way. Both teams were playing, what's it called, no-risk football, playing the percentages, and there was a lot of long balls, which was tough to watch. Like, Carbo and fucking Renz was just sending it up to El Cubby, and El Cubby just couldn't do anything.
I feel like El Cubby was a bit exposed.
He's
so bad on the ball, like, he... He's literally a classic number nine.
He's there to
score. So thankfully,
he can. But yeah, so that's what I mean. Did you guys actually enjoy watching the game? Like, I was soaking it in, but it was hard to watch. Like, it was hard. Not that I didn't want to watch it. It was like, it was genuinely like painful because we're playing so bad. And I was like, oh my, this is just terrible.
For me, it wasn't so much hard to watch. I think that's Chris going to bed. to be honest, my thoughts on it are quite obscured because I wasn't saying like, oh shit, we're playing so bad. It was more so just like, holy fuck, we're in a final. We're in a final.
Yeah, yeah. That was
the anxiety.
Do you agree to that thing that it just felt like it was going to be like one moment sort of game? Like one moment was going to separate.
It was.
That's what I mean by it was hard to watch because every time Fiorentina went forward and they had a chance, you're like, oh, if they score here, man, like it's going to be tough to score like in the game 100%. Like this.
I tell you what, our defense was phenomenal on the night.
It was. Wait, let me finish my point. We'll talk about the point. And then what's it called? And then obviously, it was a great moment to score the goal and to win the match the way we did, especially right at the end, because it would have been even harder to watch penalties. I was not going to be ready to do that again.
Yeah.
Like you boys have touched on, it's great for Greek football. Obviously, we've got up 6 rankings, I think, this year. In the UEFA rankings, which is massive after such a bad year. We'll have 5 European teams back in Europe from the following season. We've got to build on this, like all you boys have said. You know, there's no point winning something and not taking that step now into the right direction. There's no point in doing that. We've got to build on it. We've got to hope the other teams lift as well. Bulk's been doing good the last few years. You've got to hope now that teams like AEK, Panathinaikos, of course, even though we hate them, you know, do something. And yeah, that's what it comes down to. It's about improving Greek football for Olympiacos, but also for all of Greece. And yeah, and what a moment to win the European trophy. We'll talk a bit more about that, Arthur, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's funny how we've had chat saying that starting this podcast was such a bad omen.
Yeah, there we go. It's over, bro. The curse is over. It's way over the curse now, mate.
I never thought in the time we started this podcast, especially how the season started, we'd be sitting here talking about Olympiacos winning a European trophy right now. And oh, it's man, surreal. No way. But to what you were saying, the match was Liam Marcos. Sorry, mate. Yeah, beautiful. Love it, Liam. Thanks for joining again. It's not our Liam, another Liam. it was very, very difficult to watch. And you know, like you're there with your dad. I'm there with my dad and my papu. And it's like for them, if anything, I want it more for them than I do for myself. I was talking to my dad afterwards. I asked him, like, how long have you been waiting for that? And he even said, in my lifetime, I never thought it would happen. It's a moment for all the Olympiacos fans in Greece and around the world. And we saw pictures of the parades, all the fans breaking down, crying, and it makes you think of the Olympiacos fans that couldn't be there, or they're not here anymore with us, but they're watching from above. It's such a big moment for the club, and it's made news headlines all around the world. And I don't know about you guys, but especially the introduction of the Conference League. So Olympiacos winning it this year, West Ham winning it last year, even Fiorentina in the finals, even how Europa League's going. The underdog story has made, for example, Real Madrid winning it this morning so lackluster. Yeah, I feel like no one cares now. Like seeing like the Fiorentina Olympiacos fans, the way they celebrate the win and how much it meant to them. The same with West Ham last year, the same with Atalanta, how they all acted. It's like people are kind of turning the wheel on these big clubs. They're turning away. Cool. People aren't taking Man City seriously. Like, you know, the Mark Goldbridge meme.
Man, they're a joke.
They don't deserve
those big titles. They just don't.
Look, the whole Man City thing's a debacle, but like you're bored of Real Madrid now. Like, even their players, like Bellingham had such a forced reaction. Like, pretending to cry. If Dortmund won it, Champions League would have felt so much more special this year. Yeah. But the Europa League was phenomenal. Conference League was phenomenal. And I know a lot of people shit on the Conference League. But it's like, man, you know what? You're going to get the realest football fans coming out.
That's it.
At these levels. And like clubs with actual history, like not these Man City fucking jokers. But that's just my opinion on it.
Yeah. I think what you said, that the Champions League has been feeling lackluster the past few seasons. I think the Europa League and Conference League have been better ever since they've been introduced than the Champions 100%. League. I feel like the Champions League has been a bit irrelevant in terms of matches. Like, we don't get the best matches in the final or in the semifinals like we used to. And Liam knows this. I was completely against the Conference League when it first came. I don't know why. Yeah, like, for some reason, I just...
I was a little bit as well,
I was completely against, and I told him my exact words were, I never want to see Olympiacos play in this tournament. And because
it's,
I don't know,
like,
I just
they won,
like,
it. It's like they won it.
Yeah, now that we won it,
right?
It's different. Yeah. No, now that we've won it, it's different. But yeah, it's crazy. And it's been so good. Like, and you are right, you do get like true football fans, and I think it's the fact that you can watch your team progress in the later stages of Europe in the end of the season. Because, say, a West Ham fan, when they first won it, right, they probably didn't have anything to play in the Premier League, but they still had the final in Conference League. We didn't have anything to play for the last two, maybe three matches in Greece, but we had the Conference League final to play. And I think us winning the Conference League has really shown not only that teams that progress throughout these smaller competitions have true football fans, but this may not be statistically accurate, but I think Olympiacos might be the biggest team in terms of supporters in Greece. You saw people celebrated in Rhodes, in Piraeus, in Athena, in Samos, in my cousin where he lives, in a small town in Peloponnese. Like, people were lighting stuff up on fire, like firecrackers, everything.
Yeah,
this was celebrated throughout Greece. I don't know, I think this might mean that we are the most supported team in Greece, which is great.
We are.
It's for sure.
It's statistically proven that, definitely.
It's statistically, right.
But I feel like Europa League and Conference League, especially in the last few years as well, has really brought out true football fans. Like, I know West Ham, they're not contenders for the league title, but like, they make a good crowd in these competitions and brings the best 100%. Out of them. And it's like the Conference League, even when it started, I wasn't the biggest fan of it, but when I saw results, like the big teams like Roma, Leicester City, like that, they were losing against clubs from Norway and whatnot. But Olympiacos this year, I don't want to go into other clubs. They beat all the favorites. They beat four of the main favorites for that competition. Fenerbahce, Aston Villa, Fiorentina, and Maccabi. And Maccabi were only... When I say they beat the favorites with Maccabi, it's because we lost 4-1 in the first game.
They had the top scorer of the Conference League.
Exactly.
Especially
exactly.
at the time. He was putting up crazy numbers. And I think they had then the third or fifth as well. They had the number one and third or fifth scorer as well. So,
exactly.
It's definitely a tough team.
Let's answer this question. I think it's a good time to change the format of the Champions League. The group stages are dead with the current format. We should see more good matchups at the start of the competition. Look, I don't mind changing the format in terms of the way that they're doing it in the league, but I don't like the idea that they're adding more matches. I don't like that. Like, why do you need to add more matches into I think it's just for the Champions League. It's becoming eight matches in the group stage. Like you said, it's already dead, sort of a little bit. Like, you know, why do you need more matches? And obviously, the answer is very obvious. We all know what the answer is. We don't even have to say it, and we all know what the answer is. But what's it called? It's just like, if you want to change the format, but you know, I don't see why they had to. But if they had to, it's not the biggest deal. But like, don't add more matches, man. Don't add more matches. Where Europa League and Conference League doesn't have more matches, so. I'm not too fussed about that. We're just going to play the six matches again.
which is
I think they couldn't get Super League one way, and I think this is their other way of getting the Super League.
Well, this is just the champ. This is what the Champions League is doing to. I think they've done the change of format so that the Super League has no real grounds to come in on, sort of, because it's already kind of.
I'm saying like they didn't get the Super League, so they're toying with Champions League to get something close to
maybe. Who knows for
that with the standard? I don't agree with that. I think it's dumb. I think the less likely clubs to win the Champions League in the first place. So, like, for example, Girona and Aston Villa, if it was the normal format, they kind of struggle. Not so much. Yeah. But, like, I think now that it's going to be, like, even harder.
And now what you're saying, CJ, makes sense because about the Super League thing, because this season, next season, we're going to have, like, 5 or 6 Italian teams. Think how much that's going to take away from the Serie A. Milan and Inter, like, that'll be a game you can just see in the Champions League. You don't have to see it in the league. So
no, but I don't think you can verse people in your country though. But yeah,
but when it comes to the league standings, they could, you know, you could have like AC Milan, Atalanta, and Inter battling third, fourth, fifth. Like it.
Yeah,
it's just so dumb. It's so dumb. It was quite confusing at the start as well, me personally, but. Few videos came out that lined it up. I thought
it is pretty stupid, but
the way I perceived it at the start was that all the teams from every competition will be ranked on one table. So like Conference League, Europa League, and Champions League, but it's not. It's individual competition. So look. At the end of the day, I think the Conference League is great because you get to witness the scenes like we have, because even Roma, that one at West Ham and Olympiacos, they had absolute scenes. Every football fan loves that. Like,
that's it.
That's what I love about it. And the Europa League has been entertaining. Like, you got Liverpool, second place in England, got smacked by sixth place in Serie A.
Like, oh, it's what Tom said this a lot of times. I've spoken to him a lot about this, and it's the Conference League. The addition of the Conference League has made the Europa League feel way more important and special now as well, because you see such great teams in it. What's it called? And it's just elevated the Europa League, which is really good to see. The Europa League is very competitive now. Like, you know, you have teams like Liverpool in there. You know, like there's so many teams that can win that competition as well. There, which is good, and you've got the teams dropping from the Champions League as well, which is good, and that's why Europe's nice with the third competition. Everything's connected. You've got teams from the Europa League dropping to the Conference League like we did this year, and yeah, what's it called? It's good because, you know, I think finishing third in the Europa League and being straight knocked out, what's it called, would have been disappointing for us, but we got the chance to go to the Conference League like we did this year and obviously win it, so it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think this is a good time to talk about and switch it to the fact that we are going to be in the Europa League next year by obviously winning the Conference League. We're going to be in Pot A, but the winners go straight to Pot A, which means we will not have to verse one of those top teams in Pot A, which I think are teams like Tottenham. Who else is in Pot A? It would be everyone who finished 5th/6th in the major European leagues. Well, I think Man United might be in Pot A or maybe B. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Serie A. I think Lazio, because Atalanta finished 6th, but they won the Europa League, so they're Champions League.
Anyways, regardless, we're going to avoid a lot of those top teams in the Europa League, so we should have a really good chance of getting out of the league/group phase of it. Which is good, because now we've won the Conference League, as we said. And I was telling you this, CJ, on the phone the other day. You know, like, it'd be nice if we could go win another Conference League, be in that tournament, go deep there again. But I think what would be nicer now is to obviously now take the next step forward, which is what we need to do, I think, and go and challenge and try go deep into the Europa League, because we definitely have the squad, we definitely have the coach, definitely have the quality to compete in that competition. And as we said, we're in Pot A this year, which means we're going to have a fairly easier game. So, what's it called? We should really be looking to qualify, I think, straight for the knockout phases by finishing in the first eight spots. I think that should be the goal. And if not, we obviously go to the playoff and try and get into the knockout stages. But yeah, we got to try and go far and improve now. There's no point, I don't think, going back into the Conference League.
So how does it work? Can we drop to Conference League somehow?
So 1-8 goes straight to the round of 16 in the Europa League.
Yeah.
Like if you finish first in your group stage this year, mm-hmm. you go straight to the round of 16. Then 9-24 play in a playoffs. So 9th versus 24th, 10th versus 23rd, 11th versus 22nd, I don't know if it's a one-off match or two matches home and away. I think it might be a one-off at the higher person's ground. I'm not sure though. You verse in a match, whatever it is, and the winner goes to the round of 32, and the loser will drop down to the next competition, which will be the Conference League.
That's fucking bananas, if you ask me. But
yeah, but there is another match, bro. That in the Europa League there is another match then, because if you play that playoff match, if you're in the playoffs, you play another match, which means in the Champions League you could be playing 3-4. Tom, do you know if it's a one off match or a two off match?
Like for the playoffs,
is it double league or not? I don't know. But yeah, that's Eden.
Yeah, okay.
Hella confusing, yeah.
Someone's getting yelled at.
Maybe was it me? I can't even hear. Was it you guys or me?
I don't know.
It wasn't me.
I don't think it was me. I think my mum and my sister's talking in the other room.
Oh, yeah. That's all right. But yeah, that's a problem for next season. Guys, if you're just joining, please, you can interact with us in the comment section. If you could please like, subscribe as well. Follow us on social media. Keep the conversation going, whatnot. Boys, such a surreal feeling. I still watch the videos. If our listeners follow the Thrillers Global on TikTok, you'll be able to see the reactions from after the game and when the goal went in. Like, guys, we went to a pub in Sydney. There were about 100 to 150 Olympiacos fans right there from 4 a.m., absolutely going mental for the game. It was such a surreal feeling. We'll probably talk a bit about some news that's come out from Olympiacos afterwards. Obviously, Andre Horta, we're looking to exercise the buyout clause for him. I think they won about 5 million. Where's he from? Braga. David Carmo, they're going to try and negotiate with Porto. They do want a bit of a hefty buyout. But if you're asking me, just fucking give them the funds if we have it. And obviously, nothing's come out yet for Daniel Podence. Medeliba expects him back at Renti in July or whenever training starts again. So we need to make these moves. And Liam, we were talking about it on the phone. It's very important, these loanees that are in, especially the main ones. So Podence, Orta, Carmo, they need to put pen to paper. And as well, Alexandropoulos. We should definitely put pen to paper on these guys. What are your thoughts on that, boys, with especially those four players?
I think you've got to bring up... It's a bad look if you don't bring the whole team back, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, you just had Mendy Libar say, this is our first and hopefully not our last. And Marinakis has always been saying, we want to do this... I forgot the word, but anyways, to do something more in Europe constantly. And now that we finally did it, it's a bad look if you just give up and say, Carmo, you can go, Podence, you can go. I think Podence is the only player that can be excused, because I'm pretty sure like he's the most expensive out of all of them. I think, I'm not sure. Carmo said he wants to stay. And so that should happen, at least with a loan extension or something. Horta, 5 million. We just got 16 from just winning the 16 is just for the final, right? Just winning the final, I'm pretty sure, because you get money as you progress throughout. So
that's right.
You just got 16 million. Who knows how many more how much more we got just for progressing throughout the tournament. I think that should be a deal done. I don't know. I just don't see a way where we don't bring back at least Orta and Carmo and Alexandropoulos. And maybe look for a replacement if the price tag is too expensive for Podence, because he is amazing, but we do also have Gelson Martins. We also have Masuras on the wing. Fortunis now plays there sometimes. So I can understand it if the money is too much where you can or may want to invest in other areas of the team. But yeah.
Maybe Liam can correct me, but I think Carmo's the more expensive one out of the bunch. I think Podence was 6 million.
Carmo was like 12, 17 million, some shit like that. I get confused because you hear it in different like currencies with like everyone talking about it, but it's something. He's the most, and Podence is 6 million, correct?
It's
Alexandropoulos is 4, Alexandropoulos 4, Horta 5. I don't know. I think Carmo was like 16 or 12 or something.
Yeah. Look, at the end of the day, it's a bit out of Olympiacos' control. If Wolverhampton turn around and say no, we want him, that's where his contract is. So I don't think Podence wants to go back to Wolves. We've obviously seen him, how emotional he's been with Olympiacos,
and he had the Greek flag as well that we saw at the end. He wants to stay.
$6 million. That's ridiculous. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, I was just gonna say so. Obviously, this team now feels like a family once again. This is a feeling that's been lacking in the locker room. And you could obviously tell by watching the team that it's been lacking for the past few years. Obviously, you've seen even the players like reacting with El Arabi, how much El Arabi, they like the importance, especially like players that came this season. These people knew the importance of players like El Arabi, Fortunis, Paskalakis, how important they were to the locker room as well. So,
and you could see it in all the celebrations as well. Like
the main locker room
people as well.
This team looks unbreakable. But I want your opinion, because obviously in the 1920 season, Pedro Martins emulated a similar feeling. Do you reckon this feels more special? Take away the Conference League win. Does this feel more special than what Pedro Martins emulated?
I think this is a better team. I think if you look at the players one by one, like you analyze what's it called, player to player, I think this is a better team. I think. It's a tough question because we were very good then as well. Obviously, playing in the Champions League in those years as well, we were competing and doing all right. But I think if you put this team in the Champions League this year, we could compete as well. I'm not saying we'd get out of the groups, which we didn't back in the thing, but we could definitely give some challenges and earn some points like we did. I think you get almost a similar result, but I think the main difference here is this time compared to last time, we have distinct leaders in the locker room. Whereas I think last time we were having a bit of a problem. Like, I don't know if you remember, one game Masuras would be the captain, one game Valbuena would be the captain, Jose Sa would have the captaincy sometimes, and then Bukalakis would have it when he was on the pitch sometimes. Like, there was, like, we had a bit of a leadership group. This time we have a distinct leaders. You can clearly see who they are in the huddles. You can clearly see who they are in the celebrations. You can clearly just see who the leaders are. Obviously, Fortunis, who by the way, he's a very quiet man, but looks like a great leader. And I don't know why Pedro Martins isolated him out so much, because you could just tell that the whole team loves him. What's it called? He looks like their dad sort of thing. Like, even though he's not like that old, he looks like he's their dad. Like, everyone loves him. If you look at all the comments on Instagram on him and, you know, like photos, everyone's like, you deserve this, Costa, like all that sort of stuff. He's clearly got all the boys on his side in the dressing room. And then you've got the clear leaders. And I think Medlibar's done a great job in giving Retsos and Masuras the vice captaincy, because he's given it to three Greek boys who know the club, love the club, and have the passion for the club and set the example of, you know, every time those three step on the pitch, they're going to give their all. Lasudo Suido is not like the greatest like player. Like, he's not anything like magical. But when he goes out there, he runs, he works hard, he gives everything.
You got to say, under Mendili Ba, Masuras has looked like his old self.
He has. And he's looked very good for playing, especially towards the start. He's dropped off a little bit the last month or so, but doesn't matter. But, you know, I think we have distinct leaders and we have a bit more connection as a team this time compared to what we had back in the day. And I think maybe that's why that's the thing that maybe drives us a little bit more forward. And I think we play like a bit of a better brand of football. Whereas like back then we used to take a lot of risks and make a lot of mistakes. I don't know if you remember Bud, Semedo, especially, what's his name? And Media. We used to make a lot of mistakes in defense.
Yeah. So
we used to play some risky type football and we didn't have the facilities to sort of deal with the football we'd play. So we'd get caught out a little bit, which is what happened in that season in the major games. Like, I don't know if you remember as well with Porto in the COVID year where we try to play out of the back.
Oh, Bukalakis with that.
Bukalakis. And we just, things like that. Things like that. Like, we didn't have the facilities. Like, Bukalakis is not a player you get on the ball and you get to, you get on the ball under pressure in the 18-yard box. Like, he's not a Rodri or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, he's Bukalakis. You can't play that type of football with the players that we had back then. Whereas Medley Baez is a bit more of a, you know, an approach that suits our players that we have better, which is why, that's my analysis.
Yeah, 100%, man. I agree with
you. But it is tough.
No, go ahead.
Now, I was going to say a revolutionary comment. I was just going to say it is tough, though, like to compare 4 years under Martins to 4 months under Mendili. But I think we have played some of the best football ever played possibly in an Olympiacos jersey, but I don't know, like, I'm not saying Martin's team is better. I'm not saying this team probably does edge it out, but it is tough to forget what Martin's did, because let's not forget, against Wolves, we should have gone through.
Mm.
Against, and we had so many big moments with Bayern almost drawing that game, with Tottenham drawing, which we shouldn't have drawn. We should have won that game. So there was a lot of, like, should have, would have, like, done different with Martin's, which... I mean, because you said take away the Conference League. If we take away the Conference League, just winning it, right? It is a bit tougher to see, like, because Tottenham isn't Aston Villa, even though we annihilated Aston Villa. It's not Bayern Munich. It's not. So it is a bit different, in my opinion. You can't really compare them too much right now, I think.
Yeah.
I
think with what you're saying as well is that we this season already had the players. We just needed someone to facilitate the players because
we were always saying it on the podcast. We've got good players in this team. We're not playing good football at the moment. By the way, I just want to say one thing that got brought to my attention the other day. You remember Hwang In-bom?
Yeah.
Who left us at the start of this year? Our best player last year. Probably, and he left us at the start of this year because he made the comment that he wants to play bigger team, bigger matches.
Yeah.
He would be absolutely kicking himself at the moment seeing us win the European title. He's getting smacked up in the Champions League. Didn't get a single point in the Champions League. Like, so I love Zvezda. I don't think they got a point. I think they got zero.
It's more in a diss than him than could have a nice how many players have come to Olympiacos and say nothing but the best things for him, and
exactly. And anyway, also 30 years ago on the day that we won, 30 years before Red Star won the Champions League, and we won the Conference League 30 years later on the exact same day. So, little fact for you guys with our Serbian brothers.
That's it, man. And I bet Ruben Vinagre is also.
No. Do you know who's actually ripping his hair out right now? Do you remember Nicolas Fenian?
Oh my
god.
I forgot about him.
He was playing for us this year.
Literally this year. Far out. Somehow Carvalho managed to stay around.
Oh yeah, that's it.
That's he's gone next year for sure. There's no way.
He has to be.
Pep, he has survived like four managers I don't think he's going anywhere. He's retiring Olympiacos legend. Yeah.
What did they see in him? His season highlight was missing a penalty. Like, fuck, bro. What a trash player. I can't believe I was like giving him. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We don't need to talk about
it. No, it was the start of this. It was the start of this year, the friendly matches where he was dominating.
Yeah, like he scored like four or five goals, and we're like, holy shit,
he's turned it around against two goals, or whatever.
You know who would it hurt for the most? Akambu.
Pep BL.
Because imagine, like, you finish top scorer. Akambu, yeah, you finish top scorer. You're like, yeah, there's no way these guys replace me that easy. They just finished third. Replace you with El Kabi, finishes top scorer of the Conference League, wins the Conference League as well. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And he went to somewhere in Turkey, I think he went. I can't remember.
I went to Galatasaray. Angus McLean.
I love you too, Angus, my man. Thank you.
I think Pep BL as well. He'll be coming back. I think a lot of people are kicking themselves right now. But I tell you as well, the support from Valbuena. You had Dominguez.
Oh, yeah.
You had
Ernesto Valverde.
You had Hassan. Hassan was there in the fucking crowd. El Abdelawi, man, like, oh,
even legends from others.
Giovanni was there.
Giovanni.
I cried after the game. I don't know about you boys, but I could tear up again just thinking about
Let's talk about the reactions. My reaction when we went up the score. Like, first of all, I went mental, jumped on Bapu, but then there was a moment after before the VAR check, but there was just I was just sitting there like I just didn't have anything, like I was so like thinking of emotions that I didn't even have like anything to say, or like I was just standing there just like staring. I just couldn't believe what was happening, sort of thing. And then obviously the VAR check happened, which was just, you know, the most painful like 2 minutes of my life. Oh, that was so hard to deal with. But anyway, we scored the goal, and then when we won, obviously celebrated. But after like 10 seconds of celebrating, I literally just sat down. It was just like sat there like, oh my, like it's actually happened. Like I just sat there in the silence. I couldn't believe it. Like, you know when you're like you've got so much like things that you want to do, so much things, but you just sit there just like, oh, like just soak it all in.
Dude, that's been like, me for the last like 4 days, 3 days. I still sit there like, did we actually just fucking do that?
Yeah.
Like, Olympiacos, our team, actually did that. Before we continue, boys, Thomas, what positions do you guys need to make signings during the summer? We definitely...
I'll tell you the answer to that question. I'll tell you there's a very easy answer.
Depends on the loans. What
happens? School goes,
exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. It's just whoever, if we keep everyone, I think a good way to answer the question is if we keep everyone, like the current squad, like the main players, we need one winger and we need one, I think we probably need a left back as well. Like, I don't think Richards or Kitty will stay. Maybe Kitty might. I don't think he will. Oh, actually, we have Apostolopoulos. We don't need a left back here. I think we just need a winger, bro. Honestly, maybe
we have Leidner. Don't forget.
Yeah, but he's a right back. But yeah.
Oh, is he?
But do you guys think Navarro stays?
No.
Fran Navarro, do you think he stays?
No. So. No.
So I think.
I don't personally rate him.
I don't think he stays, and I think the strikers are El Kabi. Obviously, I think if El Kabi stays.
Yeah.
Jovetic will probably be put around there, and I think he really wants to play Kostoulas, the young kid, the youth league legend.
Oh yeah, we got the youth league as well.
Well, it's obvious El Arabi's out. He's leaving. Yeah, his contract is up.
Yeah.
Navarro probably going back to Porto. Yeah, I don't see Jovetic, El Kabi, and a young Greek man. I think we're fine there. We don't.
I don't know, honestly. I don't think we make many signings. Maybe like one or two signings max if we keep the players.
If we
won't have the budget to anyways.
I don't think we'd need new wingers. Like if we could just extend Masuras' contract, we got Martins, we got we got Podence and Fortunis, I can also play there.
Yep.
And the way like he put on Jovetic in the final, he was kind of replacing Fortunis' role wide. Yep. And I don't think he did that bad, if I'm honest.
Jovetic was good.
Yeah,
that was
I think our reinforcements are like the, you know, maybe another center mid. We need players on the bench that are similar to Andre Horta's capacity, someone that can actually make a difference coming on, because I think that's why in the final as well we kind of held off making changes, because there really wasn't someone there. Like you had Horta and Masuras, and Jovetic that came on, but who else are you going to put on? Carvalho to make a difference? Yeah. You're going to put Adrian Doi on, like fuck man, like he's not a bad player, but he's just so unreliable at the back.
Yeah,
he'll make a dumb decision or get a red card, which most likely he's just like he's the Greek bar. That's all he is, man.
He's not Panagiotis Retsos at the Conference League final. That's
bad. Nah, man. Nah, he got a concussion and then became Maldini. And still,
that's Maldini, Ramos, Van Dijk, all of them.
I've never seen any a performance like the Netsos's after he got concussed in my life.
No,
I thought he was gone. He's fucking back on, man.
Right, who even cares about the concussion after he came back on? I've never seen a player play a better 30 minutes fully beyond course than
Netsos. Did you see when he came back on? He did those like four tackles in a row, like
immediately.
Then he fucked up the pass. So, like he was like Maldini, then became
He didn't fuck up. Fortunis got in his way.
Well, regardless,
he became again
after that. But it was so funny. Thomas, to answer your question, depends on the loans.
To be fair, you need to recruit at the top, right? That's what all big teams do. Like when they're at their peak, that's when they recruit. I think if you're not going to make too many signings, you gamble on one big signing, which, yeah, obviously it's a gamble, but if you're not going to make, if you don't need the budget. I think, yeah, that's all we need. We just need like to get quality players. That's it. So,
well, we've heard the rumors, Yanni, and I want your thoughts, and Liam as well. Coutinho and Royce, I've heard rumors, but I want your thoughts on those two signings if they happen. Royce and Coutinho.
What did you say this, mate?
Some Malakia page on Instagram, Greek transfer market.
Market in Greece.
Yeah. I don't believe Royce is happening. I would hate that. Coutinho, though.
No, I love Royce. I actually love Royce.
I love Royce, but fuck, man. We can't win a thing and sign 34-year-olds once again. Like we're trying to like get away from that.
And he's injury prone.
Yeah, he gets injured. Unreliable as hell.
That's him. That's not him done for the season. That's him done for Olympiakos. I feel like at that age. But Coutinho, that'd be a huge transfer. I can see that going through, because I feel like because Coutinho has been at the top and he has not, like at Barcelona and Bayern, he wasn't like the quality they expected. I feel like if he goes to Olympiacos, he's not going to be like James Rodriguez, who just came there, came to collect a check, had like a few highlights and then left. I think Coutinho could be a solid addition. And also I've noticed that we have a lot of Brazilian, a lot of Portuguese and a lot of Spanish players. Coutinho obviously being Brazilian, and obviously in Brazil they speak Portuguese, so I feel like he would gel in with the team, I feel like. So, and it would be nice to have like another creative midfielder like Fortunis, because we don't really have a magician apart from him in the midfield, in my opinion at least. So Coutinho, that'd be a great signing. Royce is, he's too old. I'd love him. I love Royce, legend, but I don't see it. I think he wants to get paid as well.
I agree with you there, man. Yeah, Coutinho would be.
I think Royce would definitely go like an America, like an MLS or so.
Or Mönchengladbach. Who knows? They're pretty shit this year, so.
Yeah, Mönchengladbach as well. Yeah, his old club, maybe.
Yeah. We're pretty much approaching 1 hour, boys, so maybe we'll start wrapping it up.
Well, I was going to say one thing before we ended up.
Yeah.
Well. Conference League Player of the Year, El Gabi, obviously with 11 goals and an assist in 10 games. Crazy numbers. Fortunis Podence, El Gabi, and Garmo, all in the... No, it was Garmo. It wasn't Zolakis. All in the Europa League, the Europa Conference League Team of the Year. So good on all of them.
They all deserve it. Yeah.
Oh, and it was Podence. Who said Podence?
No one did. Podence was in it as well. All right, yeah, he was in it.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so what's
nah, can
great
I?
Stuff? And,
yes,
yeah. Yeah. Go, Yanni.
No, I was going to say, like, just a random question because I've been thinking it. El Kabi probably had, like, one of the best seasons we've seen at Olympiacos. Like, I just want to know, like, get your opinion. Like, where do you guys think he is, like, as an all-time striker for the club? Because obviously he's a legend just because of that season. But
don't we tell you where he is?
You guys
don't we tell you where he is?
Tell me.
I'll tell you where he is. He is number one because he's achieved the most things that any Olympiacos striker has ever been able to do. What's it called? In the history of Olympiacos. Now, if you want to talk about, like, genuinely who's the best, then it's got to, is it Alexandris with the most goals for the club?
I think so.
And then, yeah, it's got to be Alexandris. It's got to be Alexandris. But if you want to talk about, like, if you want to talk about, like, for what they've done for the club, it's got to be El Kabi because he's brought us the only ever European title. Well, that's a good question. Yeah, prime El Kabi or prime El Arabi?
Oh,
yeah, that's the thing.
If you're asking me,
it's El Kabi, mate. Look what he's done this year, bro. Look what he's done.
Look who he's done as well.
And Mitroglou's in the conversations too. Yeah.
Yeah. If we're going off like the success, then it's obviously El Kabi. But if the Conference League was around for 20 years,
yeah,
or even if Olympiacos managed to get into the Europa League with the times with Giovanni, Georgevich, yeah, Galetti, exactly. Mitroglou in his prime, maybe they'd. Who knows? They're in a parallel universe, there's some trophies there, so the. It's up for debate, but for now, as things stand, El Kabi is, you have to put him number one striker in the club's history. Based on success. Who knows? Next year, if they win the league and cup, and El Kabi is still in the club, then yeah. Obviously, yeah. Streets won't forget El Arabi versus Arsenal. El Arabi scored against Tottenham, Bayern, Arsenal. You know, he fucking
any team you can think of.
And Zvezda, all in that one season.
And Zvezda.
He scored against everyone in the group stage.
Sudanese up there as well, man.
And he scored against Wolves that season. Danny, as well. Yep.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
Diogo.
Was that different year?
It was Gilliard. Oh, who scored? Gilliard
crossed it to.
That's right. Yeah, I thought Gilliard scored for a sec. But yeah, man. Man, fuck. El Kabi.
Just realized it's funny.
Aston Villa. Rumored to want him. That's according to Aston Villa news. Whatever that fucking website
there's,
is called.
There's no way he's only worth 5 million. You know, I checked transfer market before this.
No way.
He's just been doing free transfers. So we got him on a free as well. And his last three or four transfers were on a free. The last time this man was sold was for 6 million. There's no way he just became the top scorer in knockout European competitions, top scorer of Conference League, almost scored two hat-tricks with Aston Villa, and he's only worth 5 million. He went down a million. Even though he had his best season,
it's ridiculous. It's because of his age, but he's 5 million. Yeah, you're right. He scored the most goals in European. Yeah, it's because he scored the most goals in European competitions this year. El Kabi, by the way, 14 goals. Now,
if he played at Southampton in the Championship, he would have been worth 25 million.
Oh no, yeah. But
using this as well, look, that's another 20.
We won't sell him for 5 million. I can guarantee you that. We won't find a better striker of his quality for 5 million, so we will not sell him for 5 million. And yeah, what's it called? He's also older. He reminds me of Vardy peaking at like an older age.
True.
He was also top scorer in the Super League, not the playoffs, the actual Super League. Got 15.
So. Yeah, maybe.
James Harrow here. As a lifelong Olympiacos fan, I'm absolutely ecstatic that we've won the Conference League. I've watched every game for the last 5 years.
Well, mate, finally won a year. Congratulations. That's respect.
Because Olympiacos was Xanthi, I'm not waking up for that, but that's respect.
It does mean the world, man, especially for obviously fans all around the world and Australia. We had to wake up 2, 3 a.m. to watch us get bummed by Freiburg 5-0. So this means that
I still can't believe that was this season, man. I still can't believe that.
And you know what? Do you remember this is like vindication? Baqueta celebrating like an absolute nonce against us, and now he's getting done for fucking match betting. Like,
hey, fuck you, Baqueta, mate.
What a season. I love it. I know that's bad. Cool. That's someone's livelihood going down the shitter, but he should have known what he was doing. I don't give a fuck about him.
To be fair, he scored a banger against us. I can't even lie.
To be fair, he did. He did.
Yeah, like I'd celebrate even if I was down. it was a bang.
Anyway, what was I gonna say? Olympiacos. I reckon we end this with a bit of a statement from everyone as now the European champions. Thalilos global curse is more importantly ended. We finally won a trophy.
Don't even fucking start. No, jinx it.
I'll start.
I'm gonna keep this one
simple. What a few days it's been. Like, it just feels, you just wake up and you feel so good. Olympiacos is the champions. This is the first major title I've seen my team. Obviously, Olympiacos is my number one team in any sport by a mile, but this is the first actual major title I've seen any of my sporting teams from AFL. Say, I support Tottenham in the Premier League somewhat as well, but nowhere near Olympiacos. What's it called? It's the first time I've seen a major trophy, which made it extra special for me. Since considering my footy team so shit for so long, what's it called? It was a great moment. It was the best moment of my life up to this date. Something that you'll never forget for the rest of your life, like that joy of hugging Bubble when we scored and when we won the things. It's something you'll never forget. And what's it called? And I don't even have words to explain it.
Disgrace.
What did he say? Carlton number one.
No.
Carlton's number two. But anyways, Olympiacos number one by a mile. Like, there's like, we're on the top of the mountain, and like, that's where Olympiacos is, and then Carlton's like 30 centimeters above the mountain. Like, you know what I mean? But like, the mountain's like kilometers of like height long. Anyways. Anyways, we've won the European trophy. I'm very happy. I'm very, very happy. Let's enjoy it. Everybody enjoy for a long time to come. Go to the museum, see the trophy in the museum, in the Olympiacos Museum. And now we're going to improve on it and keep improving. We can't just win it and celebrate. can't just win it and celebrate. Bro. What's it called? I'll say this. My mate, Kai Wenzel, put a bet on El Gabi to score, anytime goal scored, Olympiacos to win. And what's it called? Because he scored an extra time, they didn't pay it to him because of their terms and conditions or whatever.
Wow.
Crazy.
So yeah, what they don't tell you.
And Kai Wenzel was so adamant. He was telling me before, he's like, bro, it's just going to be like, it's just written in the stars. Olympiacos is going to win and El Carbi's going to score. It's just like, it's just so obvious what's going to happen. And then he did it. He's like, it's free money, bro. And then that happened. So anyway. But we're European champions. That's all I have to say. I'm so happy. What's it called? Support this club for however long. And I'm so glad, like Yadi said, that we got to witness this. And the win as well is for the people who are no longer with us, for the people who died in the tragedy of 81. It's for them as well. But we're very lucky to get to witness. Above. Correct. And we're very lucky that we're here to witness, experience and feel the emotions of it. So enjoy it. Be grateful. And Babi Olympiacada. I love you so much.
Probably.
Have you to me? Thank you. Nah.
I wasn't talking about you, Yali, mate. I wasn't talking about you.
But I know what you meant. I read between the lines.
I'm joking. I love you too, Yali. I love you too.
All right, firstly, In memory of Rissos, I have to give him props because he did call this. when the Conference League, he made that clear to me many times. Wait, it keeps falling off, sorry. I've seen Olympiacos win a EuroLeague twice. I've seen us become champions in volleyball, water polo, which obviously I care about. It's just amazing to finally like see it happen in football. Like I never got to see like Euro 2004, and that was like Greece's best footballing achievement. I think you can make an argument that this was maybe not harder, but like after we got that 0.1% chance of winning the whole competition after the Maccabi game, I think this is up there. Like it's one of the biggest miracles. It's going to make for a great documentary one day, I can just tell. It's just great. And I'm glad that I got to be on this podcast when this happened and like talk about it with you guys. And yeah, it's a great experience. And yeah, I have no more words for that.
Maybe Yanni's the lucky chub.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what
you know. Every game I've seen live in Europe, we've actually won. Every game that we've lost, I've seen live.
We watched some more games this year.
Think about it. Yeah.
Nah, that's
but yeah. Bro, I'm just
legendary, man.
Yeah. Bravo, Yanni.
Thanks, man.
CJ, you wanna go now?
Yeah.
thanks, James.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, James.
Who's removing?
I accidentally removed myself. That was a great speech, man. That was a great speech.
That was good.
No, thank you guys.
I don't think I could top that one, boys. But I'll just say this for what it was for me personally. I don't go for any other team in football. I don't go for anyone in the EPL. Don't support anyone. Germany, Italy.
CJ, man, have some self-love. Come on, bro.
Bravo, Nico.
You must say, wait, where is it? Wait, we got to sing. Before you go, we have to sing it one time. We have to sing it one time. Then you must take a lot. Then I go with my law. He must arrest him at an Olympiaco. Tajiru me kala. Taparu me my law. Oh, taparu me get to Europe. Oh, wait. Didn't we win it?
What a nonce, mate.
I think we did.
James Christos is in New Zealand, so he's off to bed, mate. Yeah, look, just what a man for
bravo,
me.
Bravo, Refile. Bravo, bravo.
Obviously, I don't go for any other team in football. I can't have a team grow on me the way, obviously, Olympiacos has. Obviously, because of my Greek heritage. Obviously, what the team means to my dad. He grew up watching Olympiacos. So, I grew up watching Olympiacos with him. Just like you said, the closest we've had to this was Euro 2004 in Greece, and I was very young, so I do remember it a little bit, but this is something that can't be topped. It was so emotional afterwards on my behalf just to be there with my dad, my papu. Just as soon as the goal went in, we're like hugging on like my childhood friend and his brothers there as well. So it was such an emotional time to celebrate something like that, something our team that we all said, you know, this is it's a dream, as Marinaki said, we keep dreaming for Olympiacos to do, and all the years playing FIFA with my mates with Olympiacos, all the heartbreaking games that we've watched in real life. Like we said, Wolves, Metalist, my dad in the 90s as well with what they endured. And hopefully that feeling's emulated for the Greek fans of Aik and Balk and Panathinaikos. Obviously a bit salty there, but I think they would be happy knowing a Greek team's finally done it. Honestly, I don't have much more words because the emotions, I can't project them out. I can't think of the right words to say how emotional the time is, how happy. You know, the only other team I'm passionate about is the St. George Dragons in the NRL. I'd be wearing
I
was going to say, Kev.
Get off the screen, St. George Dragons.
I know, Luke. I know
you're Melbourne. Yeah. But look, I'd be wearing my Olympiacos gear right now, but it's in the wash because I've been wearing it for four fucking days straight. Like, they're ranked right now. So the feeling is surreal. I still can't believe it. I still have to pinch myself. I keep watching. And even when El Kabi scored, like, if you look at the bottom of the screen, you could see the substitutes running to the players. Like, what it meant to them is exactly the same way it meant to us. So that's good. We'll just read out these couple more comments before we head off. If Liam wants to stop clicking everything.
Oh, yeah, that's FIFA that don't even have Olympiacos in the squad this year.
Well, hopefully, I don't know. I think FIFA announced they're making a game. I might be wrong, though.
2K. 2K is a game with FIFA.
Hopefully, the entire Greek league gets licensed. So, we can only wait and see.
Honestly, like with the Greek league, we can't do anything more. We have five teams competing in Europe. We had we just won the Conference League. What more can we do? Like, they have the Indian League. They have the, which I understand, fine, big market. Why do you have the Irish League?
Oh, it's the licensing.
It's crazy. I know we fell out because of the licensing, but come on. Pasianina probably has more fans than any Irish team, bro.
It's literally a league with half a star teams, like it.
Exactly.
It's so.
How does that make sense?
I don't know, man. But FIFA do what they do, so we'll see. All right, gents.
Thank you, bro. Wait, CJ. Before we end it, I want. Can I do the outro?
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen. Olympiacos European champions. Olympiacos Fenerbahçe, first leg, 1-0. Olympiacos Fenerbahçe, second leg, 1-0. Olympiacos, total score, 2-0. Round of 16. Olympiacos Maccabi Haifa, 1-4. Maccabi Haifa. Second leg, Olympiacos Maccabi Haifa.
1-4.
6-1.
What a total score. Nonce.
Total score 7-5. Olympiacos to the quarterfinals. Olympiacos Fenerbahce quarterfinals. First leg. Olympiacos 3. Fenerbahce 2. Yes, very true. Yes. Olympiacos Fenerbahce second leg. 1-0 Fenerbahce. Penalty shootouts. Olympiacos advance. Olympiacos Aston Villa semi final. Olympiacos 4-2. First leg. Olympiacos 2-0 second leg, Olympiacos 6-2 overall, and grand final and European champions, Olympiacos 1, Fiorentina 0. Bame Olympiacana, we are European champions. Come on!
Thank you for that, Liam. Good. Everyone, thanks for joining. Please like, subscribe, and see ya.